Breakfast on 702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Aki, you can't touch me while I'm trying to work. Come now. It's 22 minutes to 6 o'clock. We're about to have our Monday motivation conversation, but I'd definitely love to invite all of you to call, SMS, tweet, or WhatsApp 011-883-0702, SMS 31702, tweet at RelebogileM at Radio 702 using the hashtag Early Breakfast and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. So one of the things that has happened to me over the past couple of weeks, a couple of changes that I wasn't expecting in terms of my career and workspace. And I said to myself, you know what, I need to take time out to just go and listen, strategize, plot, plan. And a friend of mine just said something really, really simple. He said, stop asking yourself where you should be going. Stop asking yourself what you should be doing. Ask yourself who you are and the answers will come to you. So this morning we're joined in studio by Audrey Katsidzira, who's founding consultant at U+ Wellness and a clinical psychologist. And we're going to be speaking around that, especially to do with things like purpose. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us in studio.
Thank you for having me.
Get a bit closer to your mic. There we go. All right. So, I mean, this concept of purpose, and for me, people might think, oh, why would you have this conversation at the end of the year? Why not at the beginning of the year? And I find that end of the year is a really good time to reflect, to introspect on where you're at and get to revisit self. What are your thoughts just in terms of your experiences? I mean, you are a clinical psychologist, so obviously you see a lot of patients. Do you find that many people still don't know what their purpose is?
You know, I really like the fact that you spoke about the idea of knowing who you are, finding yourself as a start. What I do find is that we live in a world that is, you know, in a constant state of motion. There's a lot of overstimulation. So, to answer you in a very specific way, I would say people are in a state of finding themselves, but maybe they're not actually aware. And if people are in a state of finding themselves, then it means they're also in a state of actually finding purpose. But purpose is not something stagnant. So it's not something that you like hold on to. Then you're like, here it is. This is what it looks like. So it's not the tangible thing almost. But I think the challenge actually, from what I'm understanding and seeing around me, is that people aren't slowing down enough to actually get in touch with who they are.
And I think it's so valid. And I mean, sometimes to some people, and I get to feel that way sometimes, it's like, oh, this is such a big concept, but no one knows how to actually practically do it. So if I'm telling people, okay, I'm going to take 3 days to go be with myself, what does that mean? I mean, for me personally, I want to be in nature. I want to be where there's silence. I want to be away from the city. And I feel like the moment I remove some of those distractions, I'll be able to hear myself, or others will say, hear God, hear what the universe is telling them to do, because I need to put myself in a position where my efforts are going to do best for whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it be radio or acting. So from your perspective, I mean, for any average person that is like, I keep hearing this thing about purpose. Now I have a job at a call center. I'm always looking for another job. I'm living a simple life. I'm a single mother. What are you talking about when you say purpose? What does that mean?
So I think we need to get very practical and just slow it down and make it very simple. And say, how about in this hectic schedule that you have, where you don't have the luxury of taking 3 days off and going into nature, how about you prescribe rest to yourself as part of your routine? So we're in constant motion, as I said earlier. You have to go to work, you have to check in, the kids, whatever it is, family commitments, nothing stops. We live in a world that like it keeps on turning. So how about in your weekly routine, just saying, okay, let me start with 30 minutes. Because it sounds hectic when you say to someone, prescribe rest to yourself. It's like counterproductive. It's like, no, I have so many things
but
to do.
But you know where that comes from? Beyond, I have so many things to do. I mean, I was saying this to my therapist. He's been preaching to me for 2 years about self-care.
Wow.
And I'm finally starting to get it. But what I have realized is, I want to call it the illness of us young black women, is the fact that our parents didn't like to see us doing nothing. You know, it's 5 o'clock, you must wake up before the sun rises, clean the house, go and cook, parents did, and boys would be playing outside, but it, particularly for us young black women, our parents did not enjoy watching us doing nothing. You always had to be doing something. And if you even got a second to sit down, you called to make tea, to bake, it doesn't matter. And I don't know if you can relate to what it is that I'm saying, but I suffer such guilt when doing nothing. I really, really suffer guilt when doing nothing. Because even if I'm just going to, if someone says, take the Sunday to chill and rest, I suffer to the point of, I make lists in my head so that I'm still being productive. So this idea of doing nothing, when you say rest, when I say, okay, my sleep is finished, they're like, still rest, do nothing. What are we actually saying? Because so many of us were never allowed to do nothing. We were never taught how to do nothing.
Absolutely. But then I think we also need to look at that particular discourse. What does that actually look like, doing nothing? You know, for example, as you're saying. So it's active engagement with the self. So we do not spend enough time with ourselves. And I like the fact that you brought in self-care. Mm. But an adjunct to self-care is self-compassion. So self-compassion is an active process where you make a decision that you're going to be kind to yourself. This means you're going to look at your past, and you're not going to look at your past in the sense of, I made so many mistakes, I cannot forgive myself. But if you find that you're there, you're actually going to start to say, no, hold on. If I cannot forgive myself, if I had a friend who wronged me, I'd forgive that friend. So let me be a friend to myself. Then you look at your present and you're content. Then you look at your future and you have hope. But if you find that you can't look at these three constructs, the past, present, and future, and have that balance, it means you need to do some work. So it's not really taking rest in order to do nothing. It comes across that way. But as I was saying, if you actually want to be productive and you actually want to have a balanced life and you want to be a complete person, part of it is actually learning to live with that discomfort. I love the fact that you brought in guilt, because a lot of black women actually suffer from what I would call success guilt. I've made it. I have options now. We're not in a space of saying, I need this. We're now in a space of saying, I want this. But now it's about, what do I really want? What truly matters to me? What am I actually searching for? How are you going to answer these questions if you don't spend time with yourself? Even if it's literally, like I said, okay, so obviously the idea of 30 minutes even now is like, how about even just that 15 minutes where you say, look, this is just you time. And some people say, this is what I hear a lot, I'm actually afraid to be with myself because I have so many negative thoughts. I start to get feelings like I'm not good enough. Well, I haven't done well.
From my favorite poem, The Invitation, Oriah Mountain Dreamer simply says, I want to know if you can be with yourself and enjoy the company that you keep. And the reason that I find that so powerful is because we are our own worst enemies.
Absolutely.
In as much as people, you know, we see how people talk to each other on Twitter and on Facebook, there are no harsher words that come to us than the words that we tell ourselves. So the power of thought. So where does one person begin where now you're like, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to take these 30 minutes to be with myself. When I'm with myself, like Retang, what are we doing?
I think, you know, I mean, on a lighter note, you know, it's really just that. Like, it's really saying, wait, hold on. Am I that person who's scared of that experience?
Yeah.
Because when I'm alone, it's the negative thoughts and the tears. And it's like, how about you are patient with yourself?
Can I actually take it a step back? I find, and this was my revelation, I was in hospital for 3 months in 2016 and I just got so depressed. And I discovered, because, you know, I didn't have work, I didn't have anything, it was taken away from me.
Wow.
And I discovered that I didn't know who I was outside of my work.
Wow.
Outside of being these certain titles, I couldn't put a name to who am I. And that was an opportunity for me. So me saying take it a step back, some people, they know themselves as mother. They know themselves as caregiver. Now you're saying, be with yourself. Switch the children off for a moment. Leave your husband out of the equation. Yeah. Be alone. Now they're like, how? Inkling, what's left?
Absolutely.
What is left?
Yeah.
So how does one start to define and understand who they are outside of titles, outside of being someone's daughter, outside of being radio host, call center agent, manager at the nail bar?
So the first thing is to admit that you have not been kind to yourself, because the fact that you actually have a performance-based identity means you now need to pause. And sometimes
that was so deep. Performance-based identity. Mm. Okay. No, the reason I had to repeat that is because it also, for me in my mind, now starts to make sense why so many people, the financial issues that they are facing cut so deep. Because a lot of people put their success, as you say, performance-based identity, and that how some people interpret their successes through money, for example. So the moment the money's not there, now you're worthless.
Absolutely.
But your worth was the same either way.
You have value simply because you exist. And I think that's a challenge for people to understand. You have worth and intrinsic value simply because you exist. Without you doing anything, your mere existence gives you worth. But we've built up a society that says you must perform, you must do well. Mm. So this goes even beyond the professional space. And even in academics, you have academic-based identities where people have to do well. But if you ask them, why is it that you have to do well? Oh, I need to make a lot of money because I need to get a job because I have to help my family. And it's like, no. Making money and actually you needing to study, those are two separate things, you know? But we haven't been able to exist in that multiplicity of having that process of studying and school, having that process of work, having that process of exploring your interests. And it's really sad because in the end, people don't actually live life by design. They live life out of necessity. So if you don't pause enough to actually say, wait, hold on, actually, whenever I take a holiday, it's because I've had enough and I know I'm about to crash. That's not okay. The holiday should be incorporated into your ritual to the point where even every day, you know, I mean, it's as simple as, you know, when I heard, oh no, we are early risers, come in early morning. I was just like, it's cool. Yes. And then I'm sure she was like, really? Like, yeah, it's fine. Because there's that flexibility, there's that leeway that's already been incorporated as part of a routine that we're just going to go with the flow. But as long as what we're doing is in alignment with who we are and what we actually want to do. So
I mean, I love what you're saying. As long as what we're doing is in alignment with who we are. I mean, the reality is, and this is my understanding, if you are pursuing something that was not meant for you to pursue, so you ignored the signs that were telling you this is where you need to be going, right? So now you ignored all these things, including your intuition, including your gut. Things are just going to continuously go wrong until you start to follow the path of where you're supposed to be. At the same time, I also understand that you have to go through that to in preparation for the whatever journey you're supposed to be on. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, I really like the way you've put it across, because it's almost as though we've admitted that there's certain things that are inevitable. You know, there's certain things we can't predict, we can't control. Mm. We would love to have a life that, you know, honestly doesn't give us any surprises, and we're just able to avoid pain and experience pleasure. But unfortunately, we are constantly being lodged into discomfort. You know, I had an amazing experience with some women yesterday, and we were touching on the concept of body compassion. Mm. So it's your self-care, self-compassion, but now encapsulating it into the notion of body compassion. Just something as simple as listening to your body. Mm. I mean, we acknowledge that a lot of traumas are locked in our bodies. We acknowledge that when we go to massage therapy, for example, we're not speaking that it's a luxury anymore. In this day and age, it's not. Actually, it's treatment, because deep in there are these knots that you've been sort of keeping, because the body remembers things that even you yourself have forgotten. The body doesn't even forget.
It's so weird you're saying this. I was just having this conversation with someone, and basically their father has experienced, you know, a trauma that we don't know what he went through, because now he was diagnosed with dementia. Sure. But long story short, I said to my friend, listen, just because somebody doesn't have the memories, right, doesn't mean their body and their being doesn't recall. So, for example, there are people who may have been raped when they were kids and they don't remember. Mm. Now you're surprised when something triggers you and you completely fall apart. And it'll happen in different ways.
Yes.
I mean, for me, my experience has been that I experienced some really close deaths in years following each other, including this year. And in my mind, I thought, well, I grieved. I did everything I'm supposed to do. I'm going to therapy and went back to work as I'm supposed to do. And then there I am on a flight. As it takes off, I could not stop crying. I could not stop shaking. Wow. I ordered gin. I ordered wine. And I got onto the phone with my therapist. I said, what is happening? They said, well, your distractions went away. Now you have to, you're forced to face your traumas. And I was like, but I faced them. What are you saying? So what are we missing? Because we're saying all these things and we think we're doing the right things. We think We think there are people that are taking the time to go for therapy. Yeah. People that at the first hint of a flu, you tend to it. But
what's happening?
Yes, what are we missing?
I think, you know, I really love what you've brought in, you know, the dimension of actually acknowledging the fact that even your healing is unpredictable. The way it unfolds can surprise you because you were surprised essentially by a process of your own healing, your own release, you know, and your friend's father as well, like getting to that point where you're like, goodness, what's happening? My body, you know. And I want to just highlight that once again, coming back to the idea of being kind to yourself, it's also understanding that it's a process. So you need to actually be patient. So that's why we need to almost like switch off and incorporate that rest. Now, when you incorporate that rest, it's as simple as, for example, getting off the grid, just literally turn off your phone, you know, just by for 30 minutes. And the world will adjust to that, will adjust to that ritual. You'll find yourself actually taking a block of 4 hours a week and you'll be more effective. And then without wanting to turn this into a therapy space, you brought in the depression 3 years ago. And I thought, wow, this is actually very powerful. Mm. It's always the very high performing, high achieving people that have a presentation of depression and anxiety symptoms. And these come in different, you know, presentations and different levels, of course, you know. But then it's funny because depression immobilizes you, makes you feel stuck, make you feel like you're going around in circles, make you feel like you don't have any interest in anything anymore, you don't want to do anything anymore. But anxiety is different because it makes you think of the future. You get, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to do this. It's
you're
always
about
something important
that haven't
performance
happened.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you catastrophize. And can you see that cycle? So on the one hand, as a high performing person, you're like, shucks man, I just have lost interest in life. But then on the other hand, anxiety is like, oh my gosh, but there's this thing that needs
and
to happen.
Look, at the same time, not to take away from anybody's experience.
Absolutely.
I mean, mine was not so much about, oh my gosh, I'm so over life. It was more of, what am I doing?
Now?
Who am
What's
I?
The purpose?
So what I want to do, I want to quickly take some calls. We have Leslie in Pretoria. Leslie, go ahead.
Hi, Debo. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you?
I'm good, thank you.
Go ahead.
Just a question about purpose. So when you're in a relationship, you both have two different purposes, but how do you bring that together and how do you prioritize each other's lives, I guess?
Thank you so much, Leslie. That's a very, very good question. What is your response to that? Because, you know, Thursdays we talk about relationships and I've spoken about how my cousin and her husband sit together and they do goals together as well as apart and do individual goals.
Yeah.
What is your response to this thing of I've got my purpose, he's got his purpose, how are we walking this road together?
So alignment is essentially understanding that as an adult, you must go through an existential process. So for example, you mentioned that earlier your depression was more about meaning, purpose. What do I want to do with my life? I need to find that substance. So my point is each person must actually grapple with those questions in order for them to have a fulfilling life. So my question is, you and your partner, for example, have you actually gone through that process as individuals? Because then if that doesn't happen, then the temptation is to find the purpose within the relationship, which the relationship can be a safe space, but you have your own parallel journeys. So hence I say the existential aspect of just the greater questions of existence. What's my purpose in life? What's my meaning? Have you on an individual level battled with those questions?
And I think that's so important because if you have not asked these of yourself, even if you don't have the answers yet, you become open to anybody dictating to you what those answers are.
Exactly.
Be it a cult leader, be it a partner who is defining for you who you need to be. I can't believe we ran out of time so quickly. But I think we definitely can have a part two to this conversation so we can get an opportunity to answer all your calls. But you definitely can follow at @uplus wellness on Instagram and find uplus wellness on Twitter or go to the website uplus wellness.com. I'm so, so grateful, Audrey, that you joined us in studio this morning. I hope we get an opportunity to do this again.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.